This week, the Ammonic Dancers, Lino Baril on the Television Satellite Project, music from John Ongayek and Cecilia Coons on the Russian Orthodox Church in Alaska.
Potlatch, a program about Alaska Natives for Alaska Natives.
Now the Ammonic Dancers.
The second dance is the dance describing a man playing with a ball. He really has nothing to do and is kind of lonesome, so he got his spirits up by playing ball by himself and tells others they can get over being lonesome too, or being sick by playing ball. This is done by Aloysius and, Walter Joe and Ivan Uisak. It's three men kneeling in a triangle facing each other and three women standing behind them. Mary Tucker, Martha Hamilton. I can't remember who the third one was. But this is the man playing with the ball.
Come on.
Eskimo dancers from Amonok, Alaska. Eskimos, as well as Athabascans and Tlingits, serve as advisors to the ATS-6 television satellite project. One member of the advisory group, Lino Burrell, explains the idea of this advisory group.
The Alaska Native magazine is designed or is aimed primarily at the Alaska Native. It seems that, you know, although one-fifth of the total population of Alaska is Native, there is really no news program or no program that is aimed specifically at the Alaska Native. His accomplishments, their goals for the future, or their just the culture. The Athabascan people or the Eskimo people have really no knowledge of the Southeastern Indians. We in Southeastern have very little knowledge of the Eskimos. The Alaska Native magazine is a consumer committee was formed with the regional corporations that are under the ATS satellite footprint. This includes the Callista Corporation, Chulista, the Tanana Chiefs, and the Kokanut Native Association, and the Southeastern Indians. The Callista Corporation is represented by Fred Noddy. The Tanana Chiefs is represented by Melvin Charlie, president of Tanana Chiefs. Sea Alaska Corporation is represented by Martin Strand. The AFN is represented by Ron Malott. The Kokanut Native Association is represented by Dr. Doris Williams. And the Arctic Rim, or Chulista Corporation, is represented by Archie Gulchchak. They're a very outspoken group. In the first six programs, they set the program content or the direction of the Alaska Native magazine. And they meet about once every month to review program content and make suggestions as to what the future direction of the Alaska Native magazine should take. The host reporter is Moses Wassily. I'm sure a lot of the people out in the audience have already seen Moses on the ATS or Alaska Native magazine. So this is a very unique program because the program is designed by Alaska Natives, for Alaska Natives, and it is presented by an Alaska Native. And we're very proud of it. I've been traveling out in the field now for about a month, and we've received nothing but favorable comments on the Alaska Native magazine. You know, I lived in the lower 48 for about 15 years, and then I was in the service and school for about another 5 years. The concepts of the Alaska is just way out there. You know, they don't think we have the supermarkets, the roads, or that. Well, they think we're a very primitive society, very primitive. In the service, I got just very tired of telling people that, you know, once they found out that I was from Alaska, they says, "Oh my golly, you know, where are the polar bears? Have you lived in an igloo and everything?" So I had the standard comment to them that, you know, standard thing coming back to them was that I lived in a duplex igloo and I drove a convertible kayak. And I was educated by the missionaries, and this kind of cut them off a little bit. They figured, well, you know, this guy's, you know, we don't want to talk to him anymore. In California, it was the same way. We were mistaken for Mexicans and Hawaiians and everything else, and people found it very hard to believe that, you know, an Alaskan could adapt himself to a warmer climate. You know, you just didn't do that, and so it was, we'd have to go through the same old routine of, you know, explain to them what Alaska was like. And I would venture to say that the majority of them just didn't believe a word we said. They said, oh, you know, they're just making it up. That, you know, Alaska isn't as sophisticated as we put it out to be.
Lino Burrell of Juneau. Here's a selection from another Alaska native, John Ungayak. Music of John Ongayek. Our thanks to station KENI in Anchorage for carrying Potlatch.
This is Roger Lang from the Alaska Federation of Natives. This is your program, and if there are areas that you want questions answered about, whether it be in education, pipeline employment, land claims, the individual benefits that will be due to you because of all these things that are happening, that perhaps if you would write your questions or indicate your interest to KUAC in Fairbanks at the University of Alaska, and let these people know what you want in program content, and what kind of questions you want answered. Why, maybe we could do everybody a lot of good. I find that the biggest burden I have to bear as president of AFM is making sure that people know, and people can make value judgments, and people can ask questions about what's happening to them. Because unless we have their concerns, then we're doing a big vain thing that's going to profit nobody but a bunch of lawyers and I don't know who else.
A few weeks ago, we heard an excerpt from the Walter John Show on KTOO in Juneau. Now we hear Walter John's discussing the changing liturgy of the Russian Orthodox Church in Alaska with Cecilia Coons of Juneau.
So much of the things that we are being taught is we believe it ourselves. See, like when a man dies, your soul lives on. Well, we believe that too. That was nothing new. We always believe that when a person died, that your soul lives on. That's Indian belief. And when the missionaries, the Orthodox priests start telling us those things, well, we liked it because that's our belief, too.
I noticed that, too, Cecilia. You know, like even when I was growing up, it seemed like the church was a lot stronger within the Native community than it is today.
Oh,
and
yes.
It seems to show a lot with the the respect that our generation had for our older people and the respect that young kids have, nowadays.
Yes.
You know, it seems to be something lacking.
Oh, they... The older people, I remember my mother and my dad, when they go on Lent, they go on Lent, you know. That's one of our belief too, the Indian belief. When you're going to do anything, why you fast. You cleanse your body, you cleanse your mind. And when they were being, when the priests start teaching that to the Indian people, well, that's they already knew that, so they really took to it, you know, when they're on Lent before Easter. I remember that they're just real strict. They cover that phonograph, they call it, the music box, cover it, and spent most of their time praying. And you don't eat meat and things like that.
But they really followed it, and they were pretty strict about it, too.
Oh, they were. Now I notice it that they're not too strict, especially now the Orthodox Church of America, they changed their name, you know, 1970 to OCA.
Yeah.
And now all the rules in church are changing.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just, you know, like getting back to the villages, you know, when you were a girl, did they have Russian Orthodox churches in all the villages, right?
Oh, yes.
All of them had...
Oh, yes. In fact, Yiskanath from Juneau is the one that asked for the Orthodox church to be built in Juneau, and that was 1889, I think it was, and he talked with a chief in Sitka, Lan Teach, who is related to you, Chief Lan Teach from Sitka. He's a strong Orthodox Church member, and he's gonna talk with him so they can, you know, baptize the people in Juneau.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, nobody would join until their leader joined. And they said it was around 700 people within 2 weeks that were baptized, 700 Indians. And there's a document about it. It's in the hands of somebody else.
Mm.
There's a really, you know, they wrote it up to keep the record. Yiskanath asked the priest, the bishop, to build a church in Juneau, and he donated his property. Yiskanath donated his property, which is right by the governor's mansion right now. But there was lots of Slavonian people in Juneau at the time working in the mine, the Perseverance mine, and they spoke up and they said, we belong to that religion, and we also want to go to that church. Why don't we have it built farther toward uptown? And so a man by the name of Henry, I forgot what his other name, he had a property up there to sell around $200, and they bought that place. So that's where the Russian church is now. But since he's gone off, you know, gave his property, so he felt that he should put up money to buy that, to and all the relatives in Juneau collected money among themselves and bought that property where the Russian Orthodox Church is. Mostly he's gone off, put up money for that place, and then the bishop of Alaska put up $2,000 to buy the things which are inside that church right now.
That's interesting. And one of the things that I think that I like about the Russian Orthodox Church, Cecilia, is they only came in and they took one small piece of property, and they're still on the same property, even
yes.
now, you know.
Yes, the Russian Orthodox Church in Alaska changed to Orthodox Church of America, and they started changing everything. Changing it to American language and shortening the services, and I noticed a lot of difference. You know, that's slowly changing. Us people in Alaska, we didn't know very much about that till it was already happening. The reason why we didn't know it is because we never get a chance to send one of the Indian people when they're having a get together, like a conference down below. So many people don't understand the Slavonic language and the Russian. I think that's why, you know, and I liked it, but at the same time, I belong to the Russian Orthodox Church all my life, and I sing the songs, and I can say the prayers in Russian. I can say it in three languages. Sometimes I get to say it and sing it, too. I can even sing an Aleut. I learned it from them when they were down here. You know, the trouble with junior churches, we have no leader. You know, you need a choir leader. Now, in Sitka, all the churches just full of young people. I was there about 2 weeks ago, and I went to church, St. Michael Church, and it's just packed, young people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're singing all the songs in English. Now, that Our Father Who Art in Heaven, we used to sing that in Slavonic language.
Oh, boy, that was...
Now they're singing it in English, same tune, but they're singing the words in English. We sing it in Tlingit here in Juneau.
Uh-huh.
We sing it in Tlingit.
Beautiful, too.
And like I say, you know, even if you know how to talk English, you like to hear things said in your own language. And our church weddings are just beautiful. You're not married unless you're married in the Orthodox Church. You're king and queen for that day. They hold a crown over your head, and then they give you a cup of wine. See, to present that, your blood is going to be like one person's blood. And they pass it around three times to represent the Trinity, you know, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Everything there is done three times, like your ring, your wedding ring. They don't put it on your third finger. They put it on this first finger on your left. Yeah, they said that the artery from your heart is in that finger, they say. So they put the wedding ring on that finger instead of your third finger. It goes around three times, too. Oh, the weddings are just beautiful.
This is Chief Andrew Isaac from Degas, Jock. KUAC for a band. I really like this way to give us our request to him to radio. And to tell us other people, a real old time, I'm here now talking. I'm 76 years old. I was born back in 1898, back in Torch North, what we call Kitchumstock. And today I was talking to the radio right here. And I really hope that you folks in a bush to understand me, what I try to say. I really like to hear like this every once in a while, because our young generation supposed to hear this word, our language, or just the other problem that we used to live back early school. And this is far I'm going to talk and sing.
Potlatch, produced in the studios of KUAC in College in cooperation with KTOO Juneau, KLTZ Kotzebue, and KYUK Bethel, under Title I of the Higher Education Act.